This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Farrah.com. There is a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
Yet another story of a prolific offender in the Seattle area doing what prolific offenders do, which is ruin the city for everybody else. We have these stories every single day. We're not looking for these stories. We're not digging, trying to find these stories with consistency to pretend that things are worse than they actually are. We get these stories very easily every single day, and this time it's a story about burglars breaking into a Soto sports store twice in the last week.
For it to happen like 2 weeks in a row was really crazy. They're not afraid to do it, and it's definitely not their first time doing it.
Cairo 7 TV reports that one of the men that broke into that Soto sports store has been arrested more than 50 times. 50. He's been identified as Tavares Dwayne Williams. It happened on September 10th, about 4:15 a.m. in the morning. Two men broke into Soto Sports by smashing a window.
They had like a big stone that they used. You can see him go one, two. That's when he broke it on the second strike.
That's the manager of the building talking with Cairo 7 TV. Surveillance video caught these two guys going through the store, walking away with large piles of jerseys. They were seen packing the jerseys into garbage bags and boxes. They're going to go ahead, of course, had one of them not been caught, and sell them. Probably use the money for drug use is my guess. Not entirely sure. Police were able to identify one of the suspects, who's a well-known repeat offender. A cop recognized who it was, so they got him. They arrested him. The other person, the second suspect, has not been identified yet. And the store owner says 36 NBA jerseys were taken worth almost $5,000.
Sometimes I wonder, when is enough going to be enough down here?
When is enough going to be enough? Those are his words. And yet they seem to echo a lot of the language we use on this show when talking about Seattle. The language of other business owners in the area when talking about Seattle. We just talked with one at 3:30, Dan Austin. Peel and Press restaurant in West Seattle. He's dealing with the same problems over and over and over and over again, and then over again some more. And do you get the sense that this Seattle City Council or Mayor's Office gives a damn? Do you get the sense that they're treating it with the urgency that this demands? They've got the plan to go after prolific offenders that they announced last week after we've had to deal with prolific offenders for months and months and months and months. And yet this happens. Their plan already, we can say, is not going to work. Because they have no idea what it is they're doing, and because we have a serious problem with the Seattle Police Department and their staffing. They are not staffed high enough for a city like this, particularly a city that's dealing with this level of crime. It's not the police officer's fault. It is the city's fault. A city that doesn't give a damn about the work that they do. A city that has a Seattle city attorney in a county with a King County prosecutor that refuses to charge and do things strong enough to go after people like this. They always have an excuse, and it's usually tied to some social justice cause. It's usually tied to some ideological perspective. Nothing is getting done. Nothing will get done unless we change this council. We get the city that we deserve. And right now, this is what Seattle deserves. It sucks because I live in Seattle. This is the Seattle that we deserve. It sucks for these business owners who have to deal with this. But we keep putting the same types of people in. And they keep doing the same nonsense. Right now, you've got the ability to kick out three incumbents who have been in charge, in power, while the city starts to decay. And I'm going to say it again. I know I'm a broken record on this. Bad policies of Seattle spread. We see how they spread in Edmonds when it comes to gun rights. We've seen how it spreads to Tacoma when it comes to banning plastic bags. We've seen how it spreads to Olympia when we're talking about the homelessness crisis. You are all involved in this upcoming election. No matter if you live in Seattle or Squim, you are involved. What are you doing to help change this? Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in the media?
Corey Lewandowski might run for Senate in New Hampshire. While he was testifying yesterday, a tweet went up. Said, new website just launched to help a potential Senate run. Sign up now. Stand with Corey. Politico's Jake Sherman also reported that there was an FEC filing for a New Hampshire committee called Stand with Corey. Seems like he's going all in. And over at The View, Meghan McCain says, oh, this is going to be... not going to be a good look.
Is that he had were later dropped, but you can look it up yourself.
We saw him.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. Running for Senate in New Hampshire, anyone who's been to New Hampshire, there are the most independent voters. That's why it's first in the nation.
Live for or die.
Live for or die. If he thinks he is going to maroon the state of New Hampshire for a Senate run, get your popcorn and whiskey. It's going to be an absolutely ridiculous crap show.
Yeah.
And like, such a joke. And he thinks he can just go and run in the state of New Hampshire.
So, you know, an interesting part is I don't think it's a joke that he thinks he can run there. Anyone can run in the state that they live in, right? So that's not the joke. I don't think he's going to win, and I think that the Democratic Party is probably going to have an easy time defeating him, because as much as some folks like Corey Lewandowski, he did yesterday go on the record to say that when he talks to the media, he lies. He said that. Now, that's going to already create the attack ad that any Democrat running against him will put out there, and they'll be right to do it. If you want to win in New Hampshire, Corey Lewandowski is not the right person. He isn't. Doesn't mean he's not a good campaign manager. Obviously, he's got some skills. Doesn't mean he can't talk his way out of giving the president up to Democrats in their House impeachment hearing. He clearly can't. Doesn't make him a good candidate. He is not going to win. We'll see if he even runs. And if he does run, I do hope there's another Republican who will run against him. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
So usually when you come up with lists of the best college towns in Washington state, you can usually count on either Seattle or Pullman being there. Maybe Ellensburg, but probably not. It's Pullman or Seattle, yes?
Yeah.
Where'd you go to school?
I like the respect that you just dropped with Ellensburg in there. Great college town.
I'm just saying, it's not always there, but it's in the conversation. Well, there's a new poll out from a technology review site called reviews.org. And I think the number one city of college towns in Washington state, it's number 9 overall, is going to surprise you. So if you could you get me a drum roll? Get that drum over there. There we go. Okay. So the number one college town in Seattle or in Washington state is... Give me the ding. Oh my God. How are you still doing this?
You asked for this.
How are you not tired? Okay, I'm ready. And it is? Oh my God, it's just never going to end, is it? It's just going to go on and on and on and on, and it's never going to... No, I'm not ready now. No, start over. No, it's Bellingham.
Ew.
Western Washington University in Bellingham. Bellingham is now known as the number one best college town in Washington state, home of the prolific Peeping Tom, Bellingham is in that list. Now, to be fair, there is a caveat here that I do think is kind of important. The authors of this list only focused on colleges in cities with a population of 250,000 or less. So Seattle would not count, nor do I think Pullman would count. So that's why.
I kind of a little believe they beat out Ellensburg. Even Cheney's better than Bellingham.
Here's why. So this is what they say. I've got my own opinion, but the researchers say they use data from the Census Bureau to analyze and compare the college town's overall population, student population, rental costs, college education rates, transportation access, unemployment rates, and bar availability. Here's what this is really about. Because you can go to Canada and drink when you're 19.
Ah,
right?
Man, that's smart.
You live in Bellingham. Takes you, what, 20
right
minutes
there.
To get... So, and then you go enough, you get the little Nexus Pass or whatever. A little alcoholic 19-year-old. It's a lot easier and probably a little bit more exciting to not have to, you know, ask a friend to buy you some beer. You go into an actual bar in British Columbia where I believe it's 19 to purchase booze there. That's probably why.
Yeah, in Ellensburg, we only have a Fred Meyer, so...
Yeah, you're not doing anything in Ellensburg. Again, God bless you guys at Ellensburg, but... CW is, you know.
Yeah, you've heard of like a one horse town. It's like a 2.5 horse town in Ellensburg.
Literally.
Yeah, but it's great.
I don't think Seattle is a... I wouldn't list Seattle as a good college town just because of the cost of living here. It's good from the perspective of how many options there are for entertainment and bars, but it's so expensive, I think that would pull everything down. I would go sooner with Pullman.
Yeah.
From when I think of a traditional college town, I think of the college being the big thing in that particular area, in that city. So I don't think of a Seattle or a Portland or an L.A. or San Francisco even. I think of like the smaller cities or the medium-sized areas that have really big universities.
The cities that wouldn't thrive without the college in the town.
For the most part. Or at least it would be a little bit less exciting if you didn't have that major university or college there. So, I mean, congratulations. Website no one's ever heard of, but... put out a list because they know that someone's going to link to them in the Seattle Times, which is where we originally saw the story. Yay! 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text messages on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. We did get a text message from the 425 saying, when you said home of the prolific Peeping Tom, I thought you were saying the college mascot. I think they're the Vikings.
Vikings.
Right? Yeah.
Do you want to change the mascot?
I mean, if you want to be more relevant and edgy, you can go Western Washington University Peeping Toms.
That would really catch on.
I mean, it's also insensitive, though. I mean, that's the only thing. Because, you know, the PC police will get all upset. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Big picture.
So, there's a clothing brand called Bestroy. And it's facing some significant backlash from survivors of the Parkland mass shooting over at Stoneman Douglas because a line of hoodies, which is satirical, but is still very jarring. Because they've got the names of schools that suffer through mass shootings on them. So it's your traditional like college or high school hoodie. It says Columbine, Virginia Tech, Sandy Hook, Stoneman Douglas. And the hoodies have bullet holes in them. And so a lot of folks who had to experience mass shootings, had to be a witness of them, they're upset. Delaney Tarr from Stoneman Douglas sent out a tweet. So this is effing disgusting, unacceptable. Bullet holes, people died. Fred Gutenberg, whose daughter Jamie was killed during the mass shooting, tweeted, under what scenario could somebody think this was a good idea? This has me so upset. If any of my followers know anybody involved with the clothing line, please ask them to stop it immediately. I 100% understand why they are upset. I think because it's satirical, they might end up actually agreeing with the point they're trying to make, not the way that they're making it. Because all this is doing is bringing attention to these mass shootings. That's what the intent of all of these satirical... this comes on a day where there was just a video released. It's a PSA, and it's a satirical PSA, put out by Sandy Hook USA. Now, this is an organization that, of course, is trying to highlight the problems surrounding what leads to mass shootings. But they put out this video, and it was satirizing a back-to-school video of kids getting excited to go back to school. They bought all these new things. But in the video, it starts to turn into a very scary context of a mass shooting happening at the school that these kids are at.
Yes, my mom got me the perfect bag for back-to-school.
These colorful binders help me stay organized.
So everything is fine
these
so far.
These headphones are just what I need for studying.
So as you can hear, as he's putting on the headphones, some of this is visual, you can start hearing some kids behind him screaming because there's a mass shooter.
These new sneakers are just what I need for the new year.
Running away from the shooter.
This jacket is a real must-have.
My parents got me the skateboard I wanted. It's pretty cool.
He's using the skateboard to break a window of a classroom.
These scissors really come in handy in art class.
And then for self-defense.
These colored pencils, too. These new socks, they can be a real lifesaver.
So in that case, she's using the socks to as a tourniquet of a kid who was shot in the leg. It is a very jarring video. It is. And it's using satire as a means to make their point. And again, it's highlighting the threat of mass shootings on college campuses and high school campuses, all of this. I don't necessarily like the way that they did it, but they're doing it in a way that's got a lot of people talking about this at a time that they want us talking about it. Now, we may disagree with how they do it, and maybe even some of the points behind some of these videos. Oftentimes, it's all about going after gun rights, which is something I disagree with. But that's what they're doing. This is legitimate, powerful political speech, and it's getting people to think. Now, yes, we 100% should respect the reactions, understandable reactions of people in Parkland or anywhere that experience this, but I do think it's important to at least point out the reason why they're doing it. Doesn't make it right or wrong. That's subjective, right? That's for you to say. I'm assuming the people behind, for example, that PSA are saying this is the right thing to do because sometimes you need to be this provocative to make a point, to cut through all the crap that's on social media that people talk about. And certainly, at least for me, all of this cut through. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in King County?
So there are a lot of places that don't want to be defined by King County. They don't want to be defined by Seattle, in fact. And so you've got a whole bunch of cities all across Western Washington using an app called WeChat, which I guess is really, really popular in China. And they're using it because they want to pitch their individual cities to potential tourists. Patrick Pierce is the president and CEO of the Economic Alliance of Snohomish County. He talks about the value of using this app to Como TV.
Being on that platform and having a strong presence there seemed to make a lot of sense. It's really kind of essential to daily life in China. It's kind of difficult to get around because everywhere you go, it's like scan your QR code for WeChat. Seemed like the kind of right path to get at that market.
So they started using the app about 10 months ago or so, and they were posting articles and information about why tourists might want to come to Snohomish County. Of course, it's not just Snohomish County that's doing this. Seattle is jumping in on this as well because they understand the value of the Chinese market. 200,000 Chinese tourists come to this area, at least Seattle, every single year. And so they understand that this is important. John Bosch is the VP of International Tourism for Visit Seattle, and he also talks about reaching people on this app.
WeChat is more than an app or a social media channel. It is an ecosystem. The fact that we all have a channel to reach the consumer directly, a channel that includes 1.1 billion active monthly users, is really a destination marketer's dream.
So this is very smart to use. I mean, it's the same thing of like, how do you appeal to millennials? Well, you meet them where they are. And how do you reach different markets that are in the business of finding new spots for tourism purposes? You go where they are. And this is a really good use of that kind of technology. And I'm glad that there are businesses and community groups, and in this case, different organizations that are tourist-based, that are actually getting out there and using this kind of technology. My only fear, at least from a Seattle perspective, and really also from a Pierce and Snohomish County's perspective, of you're telling people, you're selling people about this region. Are they really going to experience what you want them to experience once they get here? I think about this in terms of Seattle a lot because we have cruise ship season. Unfortunately, there aren't cruises that are going to Tacoma right now as they figure out how to handle the port of Tacoma and making it hospitable to these major cruise lines. But they're coming into Seattle. They bring with them a lot of people who maybe have never been to Seattle. And what are they experiencing? When you come to a city, you generally spend time at sort of the core, right? The downtown core. Staying in the downtown core of Seattle is not the best place for a tourist to be. There's lots of trash everywhere. There's lots of homeless people everywhere. There are lots of prolific offenders everywhere. There are lots of mentally ill people everywhere. Is that really what we want to put in the minds of this region? Because then I feel really bad for Snohomish County and Pierce County and like East King County, right? Bellevue, Tacoma, Everett. These are wonderful communities. I think there's so much space here that tourists would enjoy, but it's going to be tarnished by what Seattle is becoming. And the media is picking up nationally about what this area is becoming. How many times have I been on Tucker Carlson on Fox News? Six. To talk about this particular issue. People are aware, and I do think it's going to start to hurt the Snohomish counties of the world and the Pierce counties and the east side of the greater east side of King County. I think it's going to hurt. So maybe put a little bookmark here. Make sure you go back to the WeChat. But are we setting people up for disappointment when they get here? I'd love to hear from you on this. Send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. 8770. Text me on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline.
Olympia, Sammamish, Lakewood, Bellevue.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rance Show.
Bellingham, Kirkland, Z-Town.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. It's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Sean Keller Smiles by Design. The media is hyper-focused on the city of Seattle, ending up ignoring a lot of the other communities here. So we ignore Seattle and we focus our attention on you. And we start in Mount Lake Terrace, where a pervert attempted, apparently, to lure two young girls into his car outside of Montlake Terrace Elementary School. It apparently all started on Snapchat, where police are saying, hey, an 11-year-old girl got contacted somehow by someone who claimed to be a 14-year-old boy using Snapchat. He identified himself as JoJo. Como TV says that the girl and this 14-year-old boy named JoJo agreed to meet outside of the elementary school. Now, the girl ends up bringing one of her female friends, 12-year-old girl, with her to the meeting just to play it safe. Now, according to police, well, JoJo showed up. He showed up in a car, which I'm told 14-year-olds don't really drive because he wasn't actually 14. This was a dude in his 20s who had a lot of facial hair, apparently. And when he got there, he tried to lure these two girls into his car, according to the police. Now, the girls did the right thing. They ran away. They hid. They called the police. And now, obviously, a lot of folks are upset and concerned. Parents who spoke to Como said, we don't even allow our kids to use Snapchat because of the potential dangers.
That's where his bus stop is. So that's scary. And he walked home alone today. I don't think that there's enough monitoring based on what I see in my own kids' feeds. And then it puts them in a dangerous situation that they may not be able to get out of.
So an email went out to the parents from the school district saying, as a school community, we take student safety very seriously. We annually teach digital citizenship, which covers cyber safety and cyberbullying, to all of our students. Now, that's a good way to evolve some of the course material to 2019. A time where kids are using apps, where kids are doing a lot of their communication via Snapchat. And frankly, the way I look at some of this, as someone who's already really deeply sort of into the tech culture, by the time you've heard of the app, it might already be too late, that there's something else that kids are using right now that you're not necessarily aware of. So you use this as an opportunity to talk to your kids, find out the kinds of apps or technology that they're using, and just have the conversation. At the end of the day, this was obviously incredibly scary, but the girls were not hurt. They did what presumably they were taught. So let's use this as an opportunity to say, hey, doesn't happen all that often, but this is kind of the evolution of perverts, and possibly even worse, where you go from the guy who shows up in the shady looking van saying, hey, I've got candy, and now they're doing this on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat and all the other apps. So just have those conversations. Here's the one thing that I hope you do not do. Now, I don't know that parent in that situation, so I won't judge her specifically, but don't overreact. Don't take away all technology from your kid because of your fear. This is very, very, very rare. If it was not rare, we would not be talking about this story like this as a lead story. Because it's so rare, it just gives us the opportunity to remind people, okay? This doesn't happen all that often. So don't overreact. React. But don't take away all the technology because that's not fair to the kids. Just make sure that they're using it the right way. Meanwhile, there's a goth dude calling all other goth dudes in Everett. Shola Bolinduro spoke with the Everett Herald and said, hey, I'm forming a club, a social club called, and this is actually kind of, I don't like the name of this, Dark Side of Everett. Sounds like an underbelly of just like murder and snuff films or something. It's just Dark Side of Everett.
Sounds like he listened to Pink Floyd a lot.
Yeah,
and
right?
Was like,
it kind of does.
He's like, this is the greatest album of all time. I need to honor it.
He calls it a space, an inclusive space for the outcasts, the misfits, anyone who feels judged by others.
I wanted to see what spooky people I could attract and
spooky
who might be interested in, you know, the macabre, the creepy, the dark, goths, punks, emos, alternatives in general.
I know he's trying to encourage people who feel judged to join this group. I do hope he understands we're going to judge them even more. In fact, I might be even more alarmed than I normally would. A group of goths is way creepier than just one dude who's a goth.
You think? That if they walk around in
a pack?
You have
a gang of goth people? You're not going to be freaked out? You're walking across the street if they're coming your way.
Yeah.
You're holding that purse a little bit tighter.
Maybe I'm one of them.
You're not goth. You're too preppy.
I'm wearing black jeans today.
That
How
is
am I
true.
Not goth?
Okay, I'm wearing black jeans today. Am I goth?
Let's go to Everett.
I don't want to meet this dude. He says the first club meeting is on October 11th at Everett's Evergreen Lanes. So please don't be alarmed when you see a large group of goth people hanging out together. They're not biting off the heads of bats and drinking blood. Although, is that what goths do? I don't even know.
That's Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, but he's gothic, right?
Where'd you say this meeting was?
Okay, write it down. Everett Evergreen Lanes.
Is that like a bowling alley?
I think so. They've got a Facebook page as well. So if you just go on Facebook and you look up Dark Side of Everett.
I've gone more deep into, different groups in Tacoma and Seattle. And I wanted to see if I could start something here because I didn't see anything like that in Everett. And I thought, why not? I'd give it a try.
I am kind of curious how many people actually show up for these things.
This kid has some great leadership qualities that, can't teach.
Well, he's also not a kid. I think he's an adult.
No.
He's not, we're not talking about a 15-year-old kid. I think we're talking about someone in his 20s. Or at least that's what he looked like from the photo. Hmm. He actually didn't look that much like a goth. I think he's looking to get some tips on how to goth it up a little bit more. So maybe, if you're a better goth than me, why don't you show up? I was going to say, let's have him on the show and talk through it, but I don't want, it's just going to creep me out.
I don't think you could handle that.
No, and I don't like people, and I don't like social groups, and so you combine the goth nonsense with it, I'm out. There's a controversy that is brewing in Puyallup because the city is going to get rid of their sort of money pit of a swimming pool over at the Puyallup High School, and the community that uses it, or at least a portion of them, they're skeptical that it's going to be replaced, and even if it is replaced, they're all kind of on the fence about it. Lauren Anderson tells News Tribune.
I think the general reaction is everyone's upset about it. This is, girls have been on the team for several years and swam here for several years, and it's an old pool, it's tradition, so I think most of them are definitely upset.
The whole idea of it's an old pool, but it's tradition, but it's not safe. It seems pretty clear that this thing needs to be replaced. The Tacoma News Tribune says the district has spent more than $1.5 million in maintaining the 25-foot pool in the past 10 years with issues like pump replacement, repairing tiles, and resurfacing. The pool boiler is the original from the 1950s, and this is the most alarming of it all. It says the pool floor must be weighed down while drained because the soil underneath is unstable. This is not something I get you like the swimming pool. But this doesn't sound like the best place to swim in.
You gotta love 1950s architecture.
But the weird thing is, despite all of these clear problems, here's a parent of one of the kids who's a swimmer who's all like, oh, no, this is the best pool around.
Actually, I was pretty surprised because recent improvements with lighting makes it a lot better of a place than it was before. And my daughter's a year-round swimmer, so we swim at a lot of the pools around here, and this is one of the best pools in the area.
Then all of the pools in the area are awful. We should be doing way more than just this one. Now, here's the deal. They promise over at the district that they're not going to take the current pool away until another one is added at Rogers High School. So they're going to at least have a space for you to go in the meantime. But here's the thing. Number one, parents don't actually believe that that's what's going to happen. They don't believe that this is good. They don't trust the local district to do this. And that's a story in and of itself. You've got a lot of government agencies out there, school districts and whatnot, that have burned people so much that no one believes that they're going to do the job the way that they say. But number two, and this one to me is the annoying part of this story, the ones who say, okay, maybe I do believe it, that you're actually going to go forward, because they say, we're actually going to make an aquatic center. We're not just making a new pool. We're doing a whole aquatic center that's going to be its own standalone place. The people are all like, okay, I trust you're going to do it, but I don't want to do that because it's going to be a carpool nightmare to get to. Okay, well, you know what? You're never going to be happy. Go away. I don't want anything to do with you. We're giving you an entire aquatic center that's going to save you money in the long term, but you just are worried about the traffic. Okay, well, then shut up about the pool being destroyed. You pick a lane. You either want the pool or you don't. Right now, it's untenable to keep the current pool at Puyallup High School. Here we've got, this is going to piss me off. This coach, I'm going to get annoyed. I can already tell. Right?
It's not hard to annoy you.
I'm going to especially get annoyed. Here's a coach.
Both my kids swim here for Puyallup. Both of my niece and nephew will be swimming here. Okay. And it's become our kind of our family legacy. And to lose that is such a shame because I know there's several families that have had all their kids swim here. And to lose it, once it's gone, it's not coming back.
So are we not supposed to get rid of a place that's unsafe? Ultimately, that you have to weigh it down when you take the water out? Because your family likes going there? Why don't you start... First of all, the legacy is not going to swim in this particular pool. It's going swimming with your family. That's the legacy. And you can do it literally anywhere else. So if you want to continue that legacy, why don't you go ahead and go to this new aquatic center and make it about the time you're spending with your kids or your nephews or whatever it is you just said. Is that too much to ask?
Apparently so.
God. People are never happy. And that's coming from me, who's never happy.
Nah, you're always angry.
There's just always someone to complain about something. That's why I complain all the time. I'm surrounded by people with the worst attitudes.
I know, your producer's terrible.
This is the worst. Oh, my God. I got a goth producer. We got rid of Tom, and I got a goth kid. 1-800-465-8777 if you'd like to send me a text on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show, live in the Online Trading Academy studio on this Wednesday afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in. I was on Fox News earlier today with Harris Faulkner, who most of you remember as one of my favorite guests who mispronounced my name. But it was a mistake, but we got along really well. She's been wanting me to get on the show for a while now. The last time they asked, I wasn't able to do it, but they called me this morning and I got to talk about the Corey Lewandowski nonsense yesterday. So I do hope you will text the keyword Facebook to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to the video. It's posted on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Jason Rant Show, or just text the keyword Facebook to 1-800-465-8770. All eyes today were on Greta Thunberg, the young climate activist, the climate change activist. I think she's either 16 or 17 years old. She basically took a boat from Europe to the United States. She's from Sweden to promote climate change activism, which is exactly what you probably shouldn't do, because then people are going to be like, so you want me to give up airfare, air travel for boating? Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll do some other simple stuff, like I'll bring a reusable cup to work, so I'm not using all the styrofoam nonsense, but that seems a little crazy. So she decided to, because she's the media darling, take advantage of it, and she should. That's the smart strategy if everyone's focused on her. But the problem was today, as she was testifying on the Hill, they were focused on her, but nobody else who was there, including our friend Benji Backer from the University of Washington. He's the president and founder of the American Conservation Coalition. He is a conservative, which means when it comes to the topic of climate change and activism, he takes reasonable approaches to all of this. He's actually going to be on the show at 5:15. But Greta was there, and she said something I think that was worth noting.
My name is Greta Thunberg.
Okay, yeah, it's Greta, and it's Thunberg.
I have not come to offer any prepared remarks at this hearing.
Okay, so you're too lazy to
I'm instead
stuff.
Attaching my testimony. Mm-hmm. It is the IPCC special report on global warming of 1.5 degrees Celsius, the SR 1.5, which was released on October 8th, 2018.
Okay, and now I've got Google. I can figure that out.
I am submitting this report as my testimony because I don't want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to the scientists.
Why'd you show up?
And I want you to put unite behind the science.
Oh, but you just said not to listen to you.
And then I want you to take real action.
No, I'm not going to listen to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I have something to say. Could you not just email the report to everybody and not make the trip? Because I know you did it in the most eco-friendly way possible, but isn't it eco-friendlier to not make the trip at all and just email the report? I can find the report right now on Google. I can just type it into my machine and it'll pop up, and I'll pretend to read it. I'll really just look at the abstract and maybe a quick summary of it. I'm not going to read it, but I'll tell everybody that I read it. And then we can move on, because this just kind of seemed a little unnecessary.
Nope. Nope.
Is that, you had to show up.
60 seconds. Listen to the scientists. You know what?
But hold on. Hold on. She said, don't listen to me. Listen to the scientists. Well, no. You just told me not to listen to you. So now I'm not going to listen to the scientists. She actually set back the movement decades.
Wow, that was decades?
Decades she set the movement back. She said, don't listen to me, listen to the science. No, you told me not to listen to you, so now, because I trust you, because you're an adorable little girl, I guess, although she's 17, let's stop with the adorable nonsense. I'm not going to trust you now. You told me not to listen to you, so I won't.
So if I tell everybody, hey, everybody out there, don't listen to me, listen to Jason Rantz.
No, because you're not an adorable activist.
Ah, oh, dang it.
You're neither adorable nor an activist. But it is your birthday today, isn't it?
It is.
How old are you? Because everyone on the Facebook and the Twitter thinks you're 14.
I'm 24.
So, I mean, you're young.
I'm young.
Are you learning a lot from this position?
Yeah. Totally. I'm making a real-world contribution. I am.
No. I'm making a real-world contribution. You're just sitting there and pushing some buttons. But I'm just simply saying, are you actually learning anything in all of this? Because that's my gift to you. You're not here long enough to justify me purchasing you an actual gift, which everyone will say, because I'm such a pain in the ass to work for, around Hanukkah, for the Christmas Hanukkah special. I give amazing gifts, and I usually give birthday gifts. But I'm not going to do it to you, because you're only here for a month. Well, you can ditch this job in a couple weeks after I give you the cool stuff.
Hopefully I make it to Hanukkah.
Better just put your nose down. Start working a little bit harder. Happy birthday, Producer Peyton. You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show.